Investment flash.
Warflation, buddy. Crude knocking on 95, and the long bond is back at its worst levels in over a decade. Today, we're tearing into the one trade hiding inside two.
I'm Marie, and this is Investment Flash, New York edition, September 2nd. Joining me, as always, Tom, who's already breathless, and Gerald, who's already checking the yield curve.
Yeah, look, I'm checking the yield curve because it's screaming. But first, oil. Diesel hit its highest since April. European gas its highest since end of 2022, and Brent sits near 95 after those strikes and tanker hits in the Strait of Hormuz.
No way! Product prices are leading, not just crude. Bloomberg's diesel number is the inflation channel. This is warflation, not a demand story.
Hold on, Tom. The easy long is already partially paid for. The energy sector ETF is at its 52-week high, up over 41% year-to-date. The U.S. oil fund jumped 5.5% last session and is only 9% off its high.
So we'd rather own refinement leverage than chase the broad complex. Valero's only 1% below its 52-week high after a 4% weekly run. And Shell gives you direct LNG exposure with European gas spiking.
Buying the energy ETF at a 52-week high is like buying sunscreen in a heatwave, Tom. Everyone's already lathered up.
Fair enough. But Valero's refining cracks are the flip side of that diesel spike. Nobody's pricing in a squeeze there.
Wait, European gas is spiking, but U.S. natural gas is a mess. The natural gas fund is down 12% year-to-date and 38% below its high. This is not one uniform commodity trade.
Exactly. The oil side is war premium, the gas side is regional. That's why we'd rather own Valero for diesel or Shell for LNG than chase the broad energy basket.
All right, shift to rates, because this is the other half of the trade. Bund yields at their highest since 2011, gilts since 2007, JGBs since September 1996. Global sovereign debt route, baby.
And the driver is oil-led inflation, Tom. The long-duration Treasury ETF is 1% above its 52-week low, the intermediate ETF is sitting right on its low, and the 10-year is near 4.8.
J.P. Morgan's Grace Peters says 5% is the danger line for equities. The S&P 500 is only 2% below its high, and trading at 25.7 times trailing earnings. That's no cushion.
Wait, so short duration is now the most consensual trade on the board? When the bond market is front page news, Gerald, that's usually the last inning.
Oh, come on. You've said that at 4.5, 4.6, 4.7.
And I'll say it again at 4.9, buddy, because the new information is the long end moving toward JPM's threshold, not away from it.
But notice the split. The short trade is already pressed against a 52-week low. The contrarian watch list starts with the long-duration ETF, if every strategist is warning about 5%.
Yeah, but the bear case is rates keep climbing until the Fed blinks, and oil keeps feeding that. You don't want to catch a falling knife on bonds.
Fair enough. But the data says the entire sovereign curve is repricing simultaneously, and no central bank has said a word yet. That's the gap.
And as always, none of this is investment advice. Just three people reading the tape out loud.
Speaking of the tape, let's hit crypto and debasement. Bitcoin slipped below 76,500 after the strikes pushed Brent above 93 and yields toward 4.8. CoinDesk shows 236 million in Bitcoin ETF outflows.
But here's the split, Tom. Smaller crypto ETFs kept taking money, even as the iShares Bitcoin Trust gave some back. That flow divergence is worth watching.
Bitcoin discovering what gold already knew. When real rates rise, zero-yield assets get a margin call. The gold ETF dropped nearly 3% last session and almost 6% in a week.
Wait, gold falling alongside bonds is the tell. That means real rates are doing the work, not inflation expectations. Some observers are saying a Fed rate increase would be a mistake, while the market prices that exact risk.
So Bitcoin is caught between real rate pressure and potential dovish relief. If the Fed signals it won't hike, that's a bid for the debasement trade.
Nothing like a geopolitical crisis to make the Fed consider a policy error. The market's already pricing the hawkish tail, and CoinDesk is writing the counter-narrative.
That's exactly why I'm watching the Bitcoin ETF outflows. If institutional money returns to the iShares Trust, this story flips fast.
And the smaller funds taking money is a structural shift, not just noise. The debasement trade isn't dead. It's just getting selective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the split.
Okay, now the most original take of the day, Hut 8. CoinDesk reports its Texas power site sits inside Anthropic's $35 billion AI data center deal, with long-term leases worth $19.6 billion.
That's more than 260 times Hut 8's latest quarterly revenue, Tom. The stock is 45% below its high, with negative forward earnings. Story stock. Valuation entirely optionality.
No way, buddy. That's the whole reframe. Hut 8 stops being a Bitcoin miner and becomes an AI power and real estate play. The market hasn't priced the lease value.
Hold on, Tom. CoinDesk is the only source connecting Hut 8 to a marquee AI customer. That's a single-sourced thesis, and the leases aren't booked revenue yet.
So, the thesis is their mining revenue is rounding error, and their real asset is a power call to Anthropic. Bold.
I'll take it. And Mara Holdings is down 8.8% in a week, 56 below its high. So if this AI power theme catches, the whole miner complex reprices.
But the deal is Hut 8 specific, not a rising tide. Watch whether institutional flows follow the CoinDesk report. That's the tell. Let's close the groups with UBS. The Swiss finance minister is publicly objecting to a compromise that waters down UBS capital requirements, saying it favors the bank and hurts taxpayers. The political fight keeps the final capital burden uncertain.
To be fair, Marie, this fight has been running in the FT for days. UBS is up 14.9% year to date and 3% below its high. Capital relief would help, but the headline cuts both ways.
European bank politics? Not exactly a momentum trade, buddy. But the Singapore ETF is only 2% below its high, so the Swiss risk is leaking into the region.
Nothing says market-friendly like a finance minister publicly siding with taxpayers over shareholders.
Fair enough. But UBS at 1.86 times book is cheap if the capital fight resolves quietly. The problem is, quietly isn't in this minister's vocabulary.
All right, let's zoom out. Oil near 95 and the long-duration Treasury ETF at a 52-week low are one trade, not two. Warflation is a supply-driven inflation repricing, and it's hitting everything from diesel to bund yields.
Right. The U.S. oil fund rose 5.5% last session, up 10.7% in a week. The long-duration Treasury ETF sits 1% above its low. Bitcoin and gold falling alongside bonds tells you real rates are doing the work, not just risk-off.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story.
And the bear case is real, though. The energy sector ETF at its 52-week high, the oil fund only 9% below its high, and TLT shorts pressed against a 52-week low. Any U.S.-Iran de-escalation unwinds the oil premium and rips bond prices higher.
But wait, if central banks lean against inflation, the TLT short keeps working. If they blink, the crowded bond short rips. The gap is that no Fed speaker, no ECB or BOJ reaction, no supply calendar. The press is pricing the war, not the policy response.
See, this is what I mean. The cleanest expression is long energy versus short duration. But after a week like this, chasing the oil fund at 9% from its high is exactly the wrong entry.
So the better risk-reward is the other side, Tom. The long-duration Treasury ETF at a 52-week low, with every strategist warning about 5% yields, is precisely where a violent reversal starts. We're not buying it yet, but it's the first name on the contrarian watch list.
And I'll be the first to say I hate shorting the consensus bond trade into a warflation print. But if the Fed blinks, that short gets stampeded.
That's the two-sided setup. Warflation says stay short bonds. Positioning says the squeeze risk is enormous. The S&P 500 is only 2% below its high, so equities don't yet buy the 5% yield scare.
Exactly. Until the S&P cracks, the bond short is technically intact, but every day closer to 4.8 without a central bank response makes the reversal trade more violent.
So keep an eye on the long duration ETF. And if you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back tomorrow with the London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. Same crew, same tape, different coast.
See you then, buddy. And remember, none of this is investment advice, but it's a lot more fun than reading the tape alone.